It's August 4th, 2016, Thursday, about 12:30 p.m. And I'm at the beginning of my hike here, about 6,700 feet in the San Gabriel Mountains, heading to about 8,200 feet. I've already come up 100 feet or so. So much to say. I'll start with the air. Very poor visibility uniformly from Coachella Valley into Antelope Valley. Everywhere you looked, there's just the thick remains of chemtrailing from yesterday with some fake cirrus clouds, but most of it suspended midpoint somewhere between, ground level and 20,000 feet. It's just this uniform white haze. Very disgusting. Yeah, I'm looking up into it. Not happy about what is being done to our environment and our circulatory systems and everything else that heavy metal and toxic particulate matter in the air column does to us. I want to return to my comments regarding the look of health, or a look of health returning to me. And what I mean by that is my skin evincing a vitality, light, life, health, more so. That's a never-ending search, is to search for physical or physiologic health. But when you're on the right path, when again your face, your skin radiates with more light, with more healing properties. I had a number of people look at me appreciatively, like a gay man on the plane coming over, or talked to him a little bit out in the waiting area at Reagan National Airport in Washington, D.C. But a couple of ladies on the airplane itself, and then a lady that was shopping at Costco yesterday. People know when you're doing well, and when you're fit, you're vibrant, etc. And I'm moving more in that direction. The fat around my waist is loosening. That means when you pinch it, it's not quite so thick and tough. It's becoming more pliable, more supple, more, the size of the fat cells is reducing. Because if those people who undergo liposuction surgery, which is criminal and ridiculous and absolutely a window into the madness of this era in terms of our lack of wisdom and search for quick fixes, removes whatever they liposuction is, a procedure where you are cut open and then fat from whatever part of the body is deemed ugly or not of the contours or the shape that is desired is sucked out. It is thrown out as trash. But what you need to know is that the number of fat cells on the body is more or less static. And so, if you remove fat from some area and then you gain weight again, and those fat cells have been removed, then another part of your body will balloon ridiculously. And so it's been the case that women with liposuction around their buttocks or waist, usually those are deemed most problematic, who suffer a bout of weight gain, will see a lot of weight added to, for example, their backs of their arms, the triceps area, getting large flabby arms or large, enlarged flabby, unsightly other areas. Because the body needs to deposit these, the excess energy somewhere. And so, you know, when you do get fat, it's not like you're adding more, you're not adding more fat cells. What you're adding is merely to the size of the cell, the amount of energy stored as this yellow, this ugly yellow mass that is the fat. And so when you remove it, you're removing the cell. They're not going into each cell and just sucking out, you know, the excess fat within each cell. They're actually removing your cellular structure itself, which is wrong. And so the only way, the only healthy approach to that is to, or approach to weight loss is a holistic one through diet, exercise, you know, lifestyle changes. You know, like I said before, 4 hours of swimming or walking or stationary cycling or, you know, whatever it is that you can do that's going to burn calories and build muscle. You do that for an extended period each day, and that usually depresses your diet a little bit because you have an elevated metabolism that does burn more calories, but it's burning more fat during the day, I believe. What else was I going to comment on? So I think the daily exercise regimen I was on of 4 to 6 hours a day of exercise helped me. Yeah, I would say I lost a pound or maybe two during this past week and a half. And also, what I think contributed to the weight loss was a variety of other factors. One, I wasn't seated at my computer. As I said, perhaps 15 minutes a day of sitting and looking at something. Maybe 15 more minutes if I was looking at a newspaper article or reading a magazine, but not much of that. Which means that the imbalance in the body-mind symmetry, this energetic psychological symmetry, where the actions of the mind, the movement of the mind is supposed to be grounded in the body, informed by the body and heart, your emotions, your physiological wellness. I did not disturb that, or I did as little as possible to unmoor a holistic functioning of my body-mind. So that's one. It's much easier to do what's better for the body when you're actually listening to it. When you're not actively alienating yourself. I'll get to the diet in a second, but I want to continue this point. I did a walk all around the National Mall area, going up into Georgetown as well, with my brother on Monday. And we saw hordes of people with, you know, in beautiful areas, but gazing down into their iPhones, their Androids, their handheld wireless electromagnetic devices, or wireless transmitting electromagnetic devices. And similarly, on the airplane and in the airport, I saw, what I saw really disturbed me. It had been 8 years since my last air travel. And in that time, what has happened is the airport terminals have exploded in the number of recharging stations for phones, for laptops. That is, everywhere you went, there was a booth or a kiosk with room for like eight, you know, or six outlets to connect your device to recharge your battery by. And it was a sea. You know, what might have been before 20% on their device, 80% either reading or just hanging out, looking out the window, chatting with their neighbors. It's probably overstating it a bit, but it's reversed. Now it's 80% of the people on their devices and 20%, reading the newspaper or just not doing anything, sleeping. And when you see that, and, you know, I'll refer, you know, to this Japanese woman next to me and the Hispanic man that was that was in the middle seat on the return flight. She probably spent an hour or two on her cell phone, you know, and then like 3 hours on her two and a half hours on her laptop, and maybe half hour, the remaining half hour of the flight, that when you have to put all your devices away, she is reading the newspaper. You know, she didn't, at no time did she look at us, really acknowledge us, except when this gentleman needed to use the bathroom. So I got up, since I was in the aisle seat, and let him out, and that was her cue to get up and use the bathroom as well. And she gave me eye contact, you know, as she passed me, you know, saying that she would be using it as well. But, you know, there are many people that, and there's two men to my right, you know, in the aisle in front, and then the aisle, you know, in the row in front of me, and then in the seat, you know, just to my right in the same aisle, but across the, the walkway. They were on devices the entire time. And one of them apparently had his son with him. You know, maybe an 8-year-old, and the other one had his wife with him, it looked like. And but did not engage in any conversation during the flight, except for the brief periods of takeoff and landing when you have to put your devices away. At least I think you had to put them away, but that was the only time they might have said something to their neighbor. But in the case of this Japanese woman and this thought comparison, you know, it extends to many other people, but it was a form of, I don't know, intellectual alienation, intellectual masturbation. You know, I'm not sure. She didn't evince any warmth. You know, she purposefully kept her window shade down because she knew that my neighbor and me wanted to look outside to see the terrain, especially as we, well, you know, the first 10 minutes, you know, after takeoff and 10 minutes or 15 minutes before our landing, when the terrain is more visible. And she didn't do that. You know, just reading her paper, holding the paper up to her face, keeping the window down. But many people bury themselves in this intellectual focus. You know, drinking coffee, she had her Starbucks coffee, you know, the caffeine contributes to the alienation because it provides ungrounded mental energy. you know, that is, allows you to sustain mental activities beyond your body's signaling that it's time to rest. You know, in comparison, because when I'm in areas where there's strong Wi-Fi, strong cellular, strong microwave, you know, where I already feel like it's a setup for you know, headaches and irritation. One sec. I just kind of focus on my solar plexus or my body, and you know, I was looking around in sort of a kind of an unfocused way, but I wasn't trying to attend to anything mentally. I did glance at a few pages of the in-flight magazine, but you know, Alaska Air for the month of August. But what I'm trying to tie in is I do believe that, you know, the kind of shine that I had, yesterday or, you know, yesterday evening, some this morning is because of the very minor, the small focus on my mind that I've had for the past week. Very little TV, very little reading. And what I think that's allowed for is, or has been an intensification of my overall energy level in a balance, in a harmony of my body-mind. Whereas the, you know, the people that focus mentally on their work too much without even like shutting it off and going to sleep or something, you know, they get more of a gray affect to their face. And it reminds me of that time that my family, my dad, my brother, and I went to a meditation retreat. A teacher named Eknath Iswaran, I think it was the Blue Mountain Meditation Center, I think within some hours of Berkeley, California. His prescription for spiritual practice was the repetition of chants, or what do they call that? Not prayer. They were some of them could have been prayers, but sort of a recitation of either a spiritual or noble passage or a phrase. And there's a word that's escaping me, that when a guru gives you a little phrase to repeat or chant, there's a name for it. But he didn't care about the health of the body, really. You know, if you could sit in meditation 4 hours a day, 8 hours a day, chanting this thing, and that was fine by him. You know, no movement needed, no work on your heart needed. It was a central nervous system, intellectual thing. And those people drank tons, pools full, bathtubs full, gallons of coffee, caffeinated beverages, because the whole point was staying intellectually sharp. And so I looked at them, I assessed them. You know, this is why I slept in instead of meditating with that group, I think both days that we were there. You know, I just wasn't impressed, didn't want to be a part of it. They had beady eyes, so there was, you know, some intensive energy in the eyes for some of them, not necessarily compassion, but certainly an intensity of will and of focus, but it wasn't the type that led you to feel calm and embraced. It was just an intensity, like, get moving, you know, we're not there yet. You know, kind of more of a harshness and a critical faculty that had been awakened, but not anything heartfelt. But their faces were gray. Their faces were not evincing of light, of compassion, of a whole body, mind, soul, spirit radiance, which can be the case with pretty much for most people that live a pretty good life and have a pretty holistic practice and don't engage in these intensive practices to the exclusion of their other potentials. One sec. I just took a break there, changed my shirt, get sweaty, and I hang it on some bushes and I get them on the way back down. So, whole body, what can I say more about it? Yeah, so I didn't end each day watching an hour or two or three of television. I didn't spend each morning 2 or 3 hours working on something for my website or for school or for whatever reason, you know, just sitting there at a computer and gazing into a screen. You know, that, you know, helps to be writing stuff that's meaningful, and but still just that physical position and the excessive stimulation of your optical sensors, your eyes, with the artificial screen. You know, I prefer to be using an LCD display, non-backlit, like I had when Apple first came out with its laptops, but back in the early 90s, but I have an iMac, which is much brighter, and I just don't like the way it feels in my eyes. But you do what you gotta do. But not doing that helped a lot. And keeping people as the focus, you know? I wasn't distracted from any intellectual work. And that helped a lot in all the social situations that I immersed myself in. You know, I was not trying to get away to go do some intellectual task. You know, I did have some physical exercise that was shared, and then the bulk of it was walking I did alone. All right, so yeah, keep it in balance. I think I've had some insights into this before, where, you know, 4 or 5 hours of sustained intellectual work in the morning, that is only really sustainable if I've got a solid 4 or 5 hour hike each day that I do. And I can get healthier, stronger, and more intellectually coherent over time if I'm doing that. But when you're trying to sit at a desk, crank out intellectual work without, I'm gonna sneeze, without a balance or a grounding of that in an intensive physical practice, then, you know, your body mind will atrophy, or the harmoniousness of that relationship, you know, it will degrade. One sec. Lastly, I'll comment on diet. It's easier to have a good diet when you don't have a lot of stress, a lot of external demands, and you're exercising and you're pretty much living your life exactly how you want it, you know, it's easier to find balance in that. And so when you're balanced and you feel, you know, pretty comfortable, you're less likely to ignore your physiologic signs of what your body needs to eat, how much, and when, all of which are ignored when you're in a, you know, a vocational crisis mode half the time. But I can say that I would attribute some of my weight loss to my having less dairy and less wheat. I think I had more salads, more fish, more vegetables than I do typically, and fewer sweets. I was going to bed without anything sweet, and I felt good. And that helped a lot, rather than, you know, eating cookies or having tortilla chips and cheese. Even if it is a raw organic cheese, it's still highly caloric and fatty. You know, I had some of that last night, not long before I went to bed, and you know, hence a bit of the runny nose today, I think. So, recommendation to you is to listen to your body, and at every turn, try to have as much, you know, live foods, raw foods, plant, you know, fruits, vegetables, nuts, foods, as you can, and then, you know, your meat and fish, your cheese, you know, less of that, but as much as you need. But listen to it, and I think, you know, and then also in a minimum of sugar, you know. But you know, you already knew that, but it's a matter of putting it into practice, which is not some abstract endeavor. It really does help for your life. You know, what it is that you face, what you need to accomplish to be supportive of that. But yeah, just happy I weighed 218 today, which is certainly nothing to brag about, but it's, again, better than the 228.5 I weighed, I think, about a month ago. Yes, I think the shine has, I think I've seen a direct relationship between too much dairy and a clogging of my energy, a clogging of my radiance, which can be partly overcome through a lot of exercise. It just breaks through the mucus forming at quality of dairy. So as a comment, for me, it was a combination of a lot of walking, sweating, and a minimum of cheese or yogurt or ice cream that helped me. I'm happy for it. And that's it for now.